Stephen, it's good to have you here. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Thanksgiving. How many have turkey? How many have ham? How many don't care? It's a wonderful time to be together. Pray that you'll have a wonderful time. I want to call your attention to Psalm 139. This is an incredible psalm. Have you ever had someone you thought a lot of, or maybe even admired? In the course of speaking with them, they said to you, "I thought about you the other day." How many have ever had that happen? And that's such an encouragement when someone of our personal esteem, as well as someone we care a great deal about or think a lot of, makes that affirming statement, "I thought about you the other day." I remember when I was in college, we had a college professor. His name was Dr. Richard Weeks. Dr. Weeks was a profound theologian as well as an incredible church historian. He spoke all over the United States on church history, but he was well respected and certainly had the respect of the college's college students, seminary students that were in school learning at his feet. He had my greatest admiration because of the fact that he was such a small man and yet such a powerful man. Dr. Weeks was only wore a size 20 boy's suit. He wasn't very big, but he was an incredibly large man, big in so many ways. And one day I was walking by his office and he pointed at me, told me to come in. I went in and he said, "I was thinking about you today." Now my first thought was, what did I do? But they were good thoughts. He was talking about, I had been looking for a book and he found them. He spent copious time searching books, finding used books for students who couldn't afford new books. And we would outfit our library with these used books that Dr. Weeks found at pennies on the dollar. But he found a book I was looking for, and we began to talk, and he was sharing with me some things that might be an encouragement from his heart to my heart. Amen? So when someone says something to you like, "I've been thinking about you," that's a wonderful thought. Well, suppose, just suppose, that God said that. That "I'm thinking about you." Now, if he only entertained one thought about me, that would be incredible. All that God has to do, all that he's involved with, the multiplied millions of people that call him their father and his son their savior, for him to look down at them and say, I'm thinking about you, would be something. Well, listen to these verses. Psalm 139, verse 17, speaking of God, David says, "How precious, How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Let me read that again. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. God's thoughts. Now, I don't know all that God thinks about. I mean, we can't think this much about what God thinks about. But your life, and I'm speaking now to individuals, your life is important to God. Charles Spurgeon said this, God is concerned with all that concerns his children. Sometimes we go through life thinking that God doesn't know where we are. He knows exactly where we are. We may be thinking that God is not going to be occupied with my life. There are far more important lives than mine. God's occupied with your life. God thinks about you. He spends his time thinking about you. And these verses give us four wonderful thoughts about God thinking about us. Let me just give them to you real quickly. Number one, these verses tell us that God has thoughts about us. He does think about us. Number two, these verses tell us that these thoughts are precious thoughts. Number three, these verses tell us, verses 17 and 18, that these thoughts are many. Many. And number four, these verses tell us that these thoughts will never cease nor change, all God's people said. What an incredible thing. Number one, notice with me, God has thoughts about us. To think that God thinks about us is pretty incredible. In fact, I am amazed that God would entertain one thought about me. You know, there are people in your life that you meet that if you think about it in a day, you don't think one thought about those people. It's not that you don't care about them. They just aren't in your thoughts. There's never a time in God's eternal life that he does not think about you. Not about us corporately, he thinks about us. But about you individually, God thinks about you. He has his thoughts on you. How precious also are they, thy thoughts unto me, that toward me, or on my behalf, or with me in mind, if you please. David spent 16 verses, the first 16 verses of this chapter, describing God, how great God was, God's power, his omnipotence, his omniscience is talked about, his omnipresence is talked about. He just is building a picture of an incredible God, an overwhelmingly powerful God. His care is described. His provisions are described. His goodness is described. And then David says, that God that I've just described in the first 16 verses, that God spends time thinking about you. Individually, he has thoughts about you. I think there are several kinds of thoughts that God may have. Number one, I'm sure that God had redemptive thoughts about us. Amen? From the beginning of time, God made a plan. And looking down the tunnel of time, he saw you. And he sent Christ to pay the sin debt for each one of us. And when you came onto the scene, God already wanted you. He had a redemptive plan. Therefore, he had redemptive thoughts. And God reached down one day. The God who had been thinking about you and chose you, picked you, saved you by his grace. This was not happenstance. God had been thinking about you. And so God has thoughts about us, and sometimes they're redemptive thoughts. I think what does Psalm 91 say? In the time of trouble, God will deliver us. God has protective thoughts about us. Not just redemptive thoughts, but protective thoughts. You know, God's in the taking care of business. God's protection is sure. We just spent 7 weeks studying the 18th Psalm. It's all about God's protection. 50 verses in that psalm that talk about God taking care of David. In every situation of life, God took care of David. And God takes care of us all the time. Now, you may think you go through your life and that when you make that turn at the corner that you make all the time, that that's something you just always do. And you have no idea that God may have had you make that turn seconds earlier or seconds later to miss something that could have been tragic for you. God's in the taking care of business. God oversees you and watches you and walks with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's with you all the time. God has protective thoughts about you. He's ever protecting his children. I think God not only has redemptive thoughts and protective thoughts, but I think God has provisional thoughts for you. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. He doesn't change, nor shadow of turning. He's provisional. He's always on the mark. I like that. Always there and ready. God is the provider. He takes care of us. When we were first married, my wife and I, we were in college, both carrying fairly heavy loads, both working. Look, I went to college. The year we were married, I had carried 20 credits the first semester. I worked 34 hours off campus a week, and I played two sports. They call that today stupid. You shouldn't try to do that and be married at the same time. We just waved at each other as we passed by one another on the day. But even with all of that, with our college bill and our rent, we ended up needing $4.50 a week for groceries. We were big spenders. You could buy a pound of hot dogs for 40 cents back then. I ate a lot of hot dogs. Ate a lot of beans and hot dogs. But there were times when we didn't have $4.50. There were times when we didn't have the money. We needed $271 a month just to pay our bills. Sometimes because of work or schedules, we weren't able to get that money. But we never missed one payment. God always gave us, showed up and gave us the money. God will never see his children baking bread. God is a provisional God. God has redemptive thoughts, protective thoughts, provisional thoughts. Hey, Jeremiah 29:11. God has peaceful thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29 says, God has peaceful thoughts about us. May I remove at least one false assumption about God for Christians? We live sometimes our life thinking that we have to produce, that we'd have to do certain things so that we might gain God's grace or merit God's grace. When you live that way, you end up with a God who is anything but peaceful. You end up with a God who's judicial. A fearful God. A God we're supposed to be afraid of. So we do in order to gain his good pleasure, because we know if we don't do, we're going to get his judicial displeasure. And let me share with you this. That is bad, bad, bad theology. It is unscriptural New Testament theology. God is not a God who's going to drop the bomb on you. He doesn't have those kind of thoughts. He has peaceful thoughts. You remember what Jesus said, 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And if grace is one thing, then it flies in the face of that kind of theology. And grace is this. Grace is unmerited favor. You can't work for it. You can't strive for it. You can't make it happen. It's all of God. God has peaceful thoughts. Amen? Then I think one other thing, and you may not think of this way, but I think God has parental thoughts. Isn't it interesting when the disciples came to Jesus in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, and they said, Lord, could you teach us to pray? As John taught his disciples. So Jesus said, okay. When you pray, say. Now, this is not the words to your next prayer. This is the kind of thing you need to have in your prayer life. The first thing is honor of God. He says, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. God is your heavenly Father. We are his children. He is our parent. We are his adopted offspring. As our Father, he keeps us. He watches over us. He only has our best interest in mind. So his thoughts are always for our good. As a father pitieth his children, the Bible says, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That word pity doesn't mean feel sorry for you. It means to have empathy for, that he understands and feels you and your pain. So number one, God has thoughts about us. Amen? Number two, I think these verses tell us his thoughts are precious. The verse says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. The word precious means weighty. It has the picture of something that carries great import. Highly prized kind of thing. It even could be put into the thought that it is beyond average comprehension. Or we can make it in today's terms, say, way too wonderful. Amen? Way too wonderful. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Precious thoughts can only come from one who is himself precious. First Peter tells us, unto you therefore which believe, Jesus is precious. If they're precious, number one, they surely can't be evil. Number two, they surely can't be harmful. And number three, they surely can't be hateful. Amen? If they're precious, they can't be evil, they can't be harmful, they can't be hateful. They're precious. This goes to the very character of God. God is not a vindictive, frightful God. He's a compassionate, loving, caring God toward his children. So his thoughts are said to be precious, all God's people say. There's a third thing. His thoughts are many. Listen to our verse again. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How many understand what that says? They're a whole bunch. In fact, he says they are more. If he should count them up, they are more in number than the sand. Now, I don't want to take your time to try and help you see what that says. How many ever walked on the seashore? You walked in sand. How many ever scooped up a cup of sand? How many counted every one of the little particles of sand? Anybody here? Anybody at all? Well, some crazy guy did. I didn't know there's three kinds of sand. But he took the medium kind of sand that would be on the average beach, scooped up a cup of it. And how many pieces of sand do you think were in that cup? 7,692,307. One cup. Now, if God said, my thoughts about you are as many as one cup of sand, that'd mean God had 7,692,307 thoughts about you, let's say in a year. Doesn't say that. It says it's more than the sand. Now, I don't think anybody's ever counted all the grains of sand. That would be impossible. But if God's thoughts are more than the sand, he's thinking about you an awful lot. Each and every child of God, God is thinking about 24/7. In fact, every second of every minute of every hour, God is thinking about you. Not one partial bit of a second can go by without God having some thoughts about you, for you, in your direction, in your help, in your need. God is thinking about you. Folks, don't miss this. You're important to God, not because you are important, but because God has made you important. God values you enough to send his son to pay your sin debt and save your soul. And now he spends his time thinking about you. And because he's God, he can be occupied every moment of every second of every minute of every hour thinking about you and me and you and you and you and you and you and you. And he doesn't lose one thought. God thinks about us. It's an incredible thought. There's one last thing. His thoughts don't cease or change. I love this last phrase. If I should count them up, they are more than number. They are more in number than the sand of the sea. When I awake, I love this phrase. When I wake up, I'm still with thee. When I read that, I think of this. When I wake up, he's still thinking about me. Amen? It's like when you wake up, pinch me. God's still thinking about me. God's still taking time with me. I was sleeping, may have had a wonderful sleep, thought no thoughts of despair. When I woke up, I didn't have to go to the doctor's office, knock on the door of God, and say, I'm awake now. You can start thinking again. He was aware of every moment of my life, asleep or not asleep, walking or waking. I'm still under the same watchful care, the same concerning thoughts of God. Have you ever been given something so incredible that when you went to bed, you couldn't wait to wake up to see if it was still there? It's still there. When I awake, I am still with thee. God thinks about us, spends his time on you and I. David looked up into the heavens and said, as for God, his thoughts are precious toward me. what an incredible, loving, caring God. I'm tired of the picture the world paints about a mean, angry God. We have a loving God. Now let me say this. Someday, God's grace will run out. And man will face a judgment. And when it falls, it will fall supernaturally hard. People that reject Christ and reject Christ in this life will face him someday in the next, and they'll give an answer. But today God is working and moving and seeking and loving with thoughts toward each one of us. Thank God that he thinks about us. Amen. Lord, may we love you. May we serve you. May we be so incredibly thankful for the thoughts you think about us. We don't deserve them. But Lord, you do it because you're a good God. Lord, help us today to love you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.